Hey everyone, welcome to the Bully Food Challenge. Today is episode 39 and it's called Never Explain. We are going to get into that in just a minute after this warm welcome to all of you who have been coming out to listen to the show. It's great to see you here week after week, learning more and more about the pattern of bullying and how you can undo it in your own life and help others around you. I'm Kelly Sorg, your host. I've been a middle school teacher for the last 20 years, and I also went through bullying as a child myself, so I know how to deal with it firsthand, and this is where I started coming up with solutions that I now call Bully Food, the Bully Food Challenge, which is basically how to undo the pattern of bullying and how to recognize ways that you might be feeding into the cycle so that you can stop doing that and reverse the pattern in your life. I'm not any of your personal teacher, at least I can't be on the podcast, so these lessons are for everyone to look at in general, and I ask that you sit with a trusted adult who can help you apply the lessons that make sense for you to your own situation. And then if we have lessons that don't make as much sense or don't seem to apply to your situation, I hope you just enjoy them and get something out of learning about the issue of bullying in general so that you can join all of us in being anti-bullies. So the topic today is to never explain. And you never want to explain if you can either limit an explanation or not give one at all. So we're going to talk about that a lot today, and hopefully you learn something from it. When it comes to explaining yourself, less is always more, as I said, and that's a principle of Bully Food, is to give any given to a cycle of bullying as little as possible. To get yourself out of the cycle and also to not feed into it. and it's especially important to give a bully limited to zero explanations. The bully doesn't deserve to hear your explanations, and neither do any of their lackeys or the kids who surround them, helping them do their worst. All right. So here's why. First of all, explaining is weak. It gives power over to the other person or another group of people. And that's who gets to decide how to take your explanation. If the person already has power in your life, like a parent or teacher, or maybe in the future a boss or a customer, those people already hold power with you or even over you. And in those cases, you might need to explain yourself. I can't walk into work 15 minutes late and not have any reason to tell my boss why it was that I showed up late. I have to have some reason. It's disrespectful in that position of authority for me to, in their position of authority for me to not offer some kind of explanation for my rude and insubordinate behavior. However, if the person doesn't hold power over you in any way, and you don't want to hand over more power to them in the case of like such a bully, then they don't get anything from you. They shouldn't get anything as far as explanations go unless you actually care about them personally, or they hold a position of power some way in your life. And it's tempting. We have temptations to explain ourselves, and I will go over why some of those, you know, why some reasons why sometimes that's the case. But all in all, explaining isn't all it's cracked up to be. It's showing you have integrity at the last minute instead of when you could have done the right thing. So it's kind of like coming in at the last minute and saying, well, I did know what was right. But either you knew what was right and you failed to do it, or you didn't realize what was right until the last minute when you saw it all go wrong, which means your judgment is only good after the fact, after things happen and you can kind of puzzle it out with knowing all the information. And neither of these are strong, not a strong position to come from. So you don't have to reveal them. You don't have to show that you knew what to do all along and didn't do it, or that you didn't know what to do until everything fell together and then you realized that you had made a mistake. So once you start explaining yourself, you're going to find it difficult to stop because you will feel the need to explain the explanation. People are going to, you know, frown their eyebrows. They're going to shake their head. They're going to question, you know, some of the steps you took along the way, and you'll just keep explaining. And a bully, especially a bully who has set you up to be in a position of explaining by kind of making a false accusation or telling you you've offended in some way, a bully will dig in their heels even more, no matter what you say, no matter how good your arguments are. If your points are great, it doesn't matter. They're just going to keep arguing their side, and you'll cook your own goose before you know it. Cooking your own goose means you fight against yourself to the point of making yourself lose. And so it's best when it comes to explaining anything to anyone, really, even the people who have that position of power or authority and maybe are there to, they just want to know the reason, or they are there to help you. Even with them, you want to keep it short, keep it sweet, or say nothing at all if you don't think that an explanation is necessary. And we're going to go very deep into why this is. So not only is explaining weak because it's handing over power to someone else, but the feeling that you need to explain is also weak. And so, you know, tell me, why must you really explain yourself to anybody? Do you really answer to them? If you don't actually answer to them, like a teacher, parent, or boss, or somebody, if you don't actually answer to them, then you don't answer to them. So by doing an explanation for someone you don't truly answer to, you're actually kind of turning yourself into their subordinate or their inferior. And so, you know, that's obviously putting yourself in a position of weakness because you're thinking you have to answer to someone that you don't actually have to answer to. And then think about, how do your excuses actually help the situation? Others don't really need your excuses and they don't want them. And you only perpetuate the bad patterns that you're doing by thinking you've let yourself off the hook by giving someone else an explanation and letting them decide whether it was acceptable or not. It might feel better in the moment to explain yourself, because you get to, you know, kind of clear your name, or you get to make the other person feel better that you weren't doing it on purpose to them, or whatever it is you think you're doing. But in the long run, you position yourself as somebody who answers to others and can't be relied upon to do the right thing at the right time, whether it's because you don't recognize the right thing or it's because you do recognize it, but you just choose something else. And then you go, you give excuses and try to get out of it with that. So do your self-esteem and your reputation a favor next time and zip it, okay? Everyone has less than stellar moments. They make mistakes too. Everyone makes mistakes, and we could all explain these mistakes away, or these less than flattering moments, but that doesn't mean we should. Instead, we need to take responsibility for what we've done, figure out what we've actually done wrong, apologize for those things in a sincere way, and then make a public commitment to do the right thing going forward. And then do the right thing going forward. That's how you clear the air with people. You don't clear the air with people by telling them a bunch of excuses that make you sound good to them. You don't sound good. You still sound like the person who blew it and isn't changing. So people want to see you admit that you blew it, if you actually did make a mistake, and that you're going to change, and then they see you change. And you don't act like that again. They don't want your puffed up excuses. And you don't owe others excuses and explanations. That's the thing. You may owe them an apology or a commitment if you've agreed to work on something together, or show them your intentions, or make compromises. Those are all things that we owe each other when we collaborate with other people, when we cooperate, when we're friends, when we work together. But only a few people truly deserve or even have the right to expect an explanation out of you. And those are your closest friends and family, the people you care about most, and anyone who's in a position of authority who you answer to. And that's it. It comes down to respect. The people who give you their all, whether it's your loved ones and your friends, or whether it's the people who are serving you by being your managing support at work or at school, those people give you their all, and they deserve you to give that back in return to them. That's it. Save your explanations for those people, and even in those cases, be sparing. You don't need to go on and on. And then lastly, I want to explain that really we're giving an explanation to someone else to control the situation and try to gain their approval. And if you look at it in truth, how they see us or whether they decide to forgive us, all of that is really beyond our control. We can't change their views of us or whether they decide to forgive us because that's up to them. What we can do is believe that we've done the right thing and go and do it, do what we believe is right, and then trust others to respond in kind. That's it. We can't control it more than that. And in any attempt to control other people, as we've talked about so many times, can quickly appear to be manipulation. And if you're trying to get their approval and not actually have to change your behavior, it is manipulation. Okay. So hopefully this first part has helped you to understand why not to explain much or at all, and who is important to explain to and who isn't. And now let's look at how explaining plays out for and against you by diving a little deeper into some different specific circumstances. So if you explain to others how you want them to treat you, they are actually less likely to step up. You have to show people how to treat you so that they will act accordingly, and they will learn by experience and figure it out on their own. People place a lot less value on what is handed over to them or what is made easy for them, and they actually resent your attempts sometimes to spoon feed them answers. They want to figure the answers out themselves. They want to be viewed as intelligent and committed and invested, and they want to do that work for themselves. The fun of knowing other people, interacting, is some of the fun of that is getting to know yourself and to analyze the situation and make good choices and see if your good choices pan out as successful. And when other people just kind of tell you the whole, you know, they just tell you the playbook and tell you how to act, it feels bossy and it's not very interesting. It takes the fun out of it for most people. Assume that people around you will respect you until they've proven otherwise. And then, you know, you want to show them your actions, you know, with your actions, you want to treat them the way you'd like to be treated in a sense, or show them how to treat you by acting out that way, by treating them that way. And if they mess up, that's when you call them out. If they cross a line with you, you would let them know that one instance, and then they'll be able to reassess their behavior and realize, okay, that these things work with my friend and some of these other things that I've messed up on don't work, and I better not do those again. People will value lessons they learned through their own experience, as I said, much more than by being given a cheat sheet or a treasure map to all the right moves. That's like playing a game and getting all of the hidden destinations or prizes or a cheat sheet on how to beat certain levels. It wouldn't be as fun to play the game if you knew, if you just got directions for how to do the whole thing. All right, so trust others that they will be able to figure it out as they go, and they'll have fun with that, and they will do right by you. And instead of feeling like you have to explain how to behave around you because you think they're just inevitably going to blow it. Nobody wants you to go into a friendship or a working relationship or any relationship being assumed that they're going to mess up, okay? Even if other people have messed up, it doesn't mean that this new person will, okay? And so you got to let your actions speak for themselves and never water down what you've done with words, okay? You don't need to explain what you're doing. It's okay to tell people what you plan to do or what you've done in the past. It's okay to tell your plans and intentions, but it's not okay to say why you did it in many cases. It's okay, I guess you're allowed to do it. And it may be tempting to spell out every move you make so that people can see all of your great intentions behind that. But it so often comes off as self-flattery to the other person. You ironically are probably trying to make yourself sound really good in their eyes by pointing out all of your brilliant moves, but all it sounds to them like is you're bragging. Okay, so what's better is to let your actions land and have an impact and leave your intentions as a mystery. Mystery is interesting to friends and confusing to bullies. Obviousness is boring to friends and predictable for bullies. And we know that being predictable is playing into their hand. It's bully food for them because then they can predict your moves and they can mess you up. And I'm sure you can see which is best. Another reason explaining is not your best move is because it shows you think people don't really get it. It's insulting to them. Either you're thinking that they're too out of touch to understand and figure things out, or that you yourself are not worth their effort or their notice that they would figure it out for themselves. Like they won't work for you to kind of think about the situation with you and figure things out for themselves. You don't have to explain the obvious to people. It makes them feel like you think they're not so smart. And people usually see why you're acting the way you do if they're paying attention. And if they're not paying attention, they don't really deserve you to break it down for them. Either way, you're either insulting them or you are giving them something they don't deserve because they're not investing. They're not paying close attention to you. So why should you be helping them figure everything out? And even your friends don't want to hear you explain unless they specifically ask. So you let the other person's questions be your guide. And if they want to know, let them ask and only answer if it's your close people, if it's the people you care about or the people who are responsible for you or the people who manage you, have some sort of authority over you. If someone like that asks you specifically why you did a certain thing or why you made a certain choice, then you want to let them know. You want to fill them in. But people's questions are a great guide because then you're not over-explaining. You're just letting them know what they want to know. And then otherwise, you know, people who are not your friends, people who don't have a position of power, people who are bullying you, they don't need any explanations. People want acknowledgement of their feelings and they want to see a change in your behavior when you mess up. They don't want to know why you messed up. They didn't confront you for a long list of excuses. So if you want to make it right with them, you should just tell them you're sorry and change your behavior. And if you don't want to work with them because they're a bully and they're mean, then, you know, it's up to you. You don't have to change anything for them, especially if their behavior is way worse than yours, then, you know, what's the difference really? So you don't need them to understand your reasoning. And the only person who really needs to understand your reasons is you. Or maybe your parents or your teachers who might be helping you trying to figure things out. So save your explanations for personal reflection. That might mean writing down your big explanation to get it all out of your system. And then instead of sending that information to the other person you're explaining to or reading it aloud to them or telling them those explanations and those excuses, just write it down and then privately use the information to reflect on what went poorly or well in the situation for you, what you might want to change if you could do it all over again or if it happens in the future, what you're okay with regardless of what other people's opinions are. You might not change your behavior even though you know some people were upset. And you could also do a variation of this, which is to share any explanations or excuses with a friend who wasn't involved directly and say, you know, you might just tell them the situation and what your explanation was to see what their feedback is. The friend who's listening might say, hey, I don't think you really did anything that bad. You don't need to explain yourself. Or they might say, well, if you explained this aspect of it, it would definitely help your friendship with that person. Or they might say, that person's a jerk. They don't deserve an explanation. And it might just feel nice to hear what you could have done differently and hear your friend help you see where you went right and where you went wrong. And on some level, we're offering explanations to be excused, as I said, to get approval from others, to be excused for poor judgment or actions that we've done. And, you know, whether we're looking for the excuse coming from ourselves or others. It's easy to say we give these excuses or explanations to help everybody understand where we were coming from. But few people besides your parents are even going to listen to your excuses and explanations, and especially if they're really upset with you. So deep down, we hope we are excused because of our excuses. So you got to think carefully whether you deserve to be excused, because we hope we're being excused by giving an excuse, but do we really deserve it? Did you do something wrong and you should just answer for it? Or did you not do something wrong and you're coming up with an excuse for something that really wasn't that bad, or that you actually didn't do anything wrong? Someone's claiming you did something wrong and that's all. So you want to answer to that and own up to that, whether you did do something wrong and you got to make it right, or you realize, you know, I didn't really do anything that wrong. These people are clearly off base when they say that I did something wrong, and I don't think I did. So I don't need to explain it or even apologize. Okay. It's for this reason your parents and sometimes your teachers sincerely do want to hear your explanations. It's not so they can excuse your behavior. Most of the time, your parent is not going to hear your explanation and then say, oh, well, you're excused. Sometimes they will, but usually it's so that they can help you make better choices in the future. So they can kind of hear where you were coming from so that you can act from where you meant to come from instead of what happened. And similarly, the impartial friends who want to listen to your explanations or your excuses to give you reasons to, you know, you're giving your reasons and then they help you see where you went right or wrong or whether you were falsely accused. That's why you would want to personally reflect with excuses and explanations versus telling the person that you may or may not have wronged. And the thing with bullying or bullies and why you should never explain yourself specifically to them is because you've probably done nothing wrong. Or even if you did, it's nothing compared to what they've done. A bully really never deserves an explanation. In fact, an explanation is a delicious morsel of bully food for them, and you don't want to feed into their drama. You don't want to feed that cycle. Don't let them trick you into lowering your status while you are raising theirs. By giving excuses and explanations, you are making yourself, like I said, you are making yourself inferior or subordinate to them. You're answering to them. They are saying you did wrong and you're spinning your wheels trying to figure out how to make it right when you might not have done anything wrong at all. And all the while, that's lifting them up as the person who's in charge and the person who gets to decide. And in case you haven't noticed, a classic bully move is to set you up in this way to make you think you've wronged them or messed something up or offended other people in some way. It's a classic bully move. And they do it to force you into explaining yourself, to get you going into that cook your own goose thing where you talk so much that you actually make yourself lose. And in these cases, explaining yourself carries the admission of guilt. So once you explain why you did something, you're basically saying, oh, yep, I messed up. It's my fault. And here's why I did it. And right then, even though you're trying to clear your good name, all it sounds like is you admit that you're guilty. And pretty soon you're the bad guy because you admitted to a false accusation. And it doesn't matter how ridiculous this accusation is. I had kids in middle school tell everybody that I would put gum in my hair. That is the silliest thing. No one would ever do that. No one would do that. But they were spreading that around. And instead of just rolling my eyes at them, like the ridiculous fools that they were being, I started explaining, well, no, I wouldn't do that. Why would I do that? That would, you know, make it be really hard to get out, and I'd have to cut my hair and all this stuff. All it did was sound like I did it. It sounded like I was trying to get myself out of something I did, which I didn't do. But if I had just spotted it and said, gosh, that is the silliest thing. They might be saying it, but it's not true, so I'm not going to act like it's true. No matter how bad you want to set the record straight with a long-winded explanation, the most you should ever do is shake your head in pity at them and chuckle to yourself, because they are setting you up. Resist every urge to take the bait in these cases. It's a losing battle because it's a trap from the start. And instead of explaining, let your treatment of them stand on its own. You're not embarrassed, not in front of fools like them. You're not sorry. They've done just as bad or worse without apologizing, right? You're not wrong. What, for standing up to them? And most importantly, you're not ever going to give them the satisfaction of watching you backpedal or walk back your decisions as if you have anything to be guilty over when it comes to the bully or their lackeys. Explaining is effort. Remember, you're doing less effort. Less is more. And it reflects your consideration and remorse or guilt. It shows them you care. You don't have enough energy or time to care about this bully or any other bully. Caring about what they think only drags you down to their level because it shows that what they think matters. If what they think matters to you, then you're on their level. They don't care about you. And you've got to mirror that. You've got to reflect that back to them. It's another aspect of speaking their language, which is matching their investment. Only give them what they give you. I hope you have a wonderful week and you get a chance to think about this. I will see you next time.